You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Charles Robinson joining us on from Yahoo, senior NFL reporter. Again, follow him on Twitter at Charles Robinson. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We start all over again. Charles, first off, thanks for joining us today and give us the very latest of some of the stuff that you've heard about there possibly being, what, a mini camp at the end of the month of June. Is that true?
Yeah, so let me lay this out for you. I know I did a little dance with J.C. Treader on Twitter yesterday. And first and foremost, I want to make it clear. I respect J.C. Like, he's doing what a good union president does. And that's reminding everybody, hey, we're the union. We've got the cards. Nothing happens without our approval. I'm sure once the report got out there, I'm guessing some players probably hit him up and said, hey, man, what, you know, we're doing mini camps? Like, what happened here? And unfortunately, in aggregation, I don't know if, you know, people see headlines and people are re-reporting it saying, oh, there's going to be a mini camp. That's not what the story said. There's nuance. People got to read it. Okay, so just to kind of recap the story here, talked to a couple of league sources. They told me, hey, you know, first week of June, we're trying to get head coaches back in here. It's going to depend on, you know, California. Gavin Newsom is looking at reopening the state to professional sports. If we can get that domino to fall, we're going to have coaches back in here the first week of June. Conservatively, I think they're hoping by the end of next week. And, you know, so essentially the thought process is once we get the coaches in, you know, to kind of see where this is coming from, you have coaching staffs, you have front offices, you have people in the NFL sitting here going, okay, we got Tom Brady and Tampa Bay Buccaneers players out, you know, in working out, you know, in a park or whatever. We got Lamar Jackson bringing in guys, and we're at, why can't we get these guys together in our facility and try to squeeze something in under the wire before we go on, you know, what would normally be the scheduled offseason break? So what I reported was, hey, they're trying to get these coaches in, and then in their minds, the thought process is maybe we can get a mini camp in June 15th or June 27th. JC correctly responded and said, A, we haven't agreed to it, which is true, and that was in the story, that anything that happens has to have union sign-off. That was kind of a point I tried to make to JC is, hey, that's in the story, that the union's got to sign off on anything. And he sort of said, well, your source, you know, your source right away, it's just bad information because we have a cap on the off-season program, which is June 26th. Also correct, but that's not something that can't be changed, okay? And I even circled back with someone at the union and said, hey, If you guys started talking and the league came to you and said, or team said, hey, we'd like to squeeze in maybe a voluntary mini camp, maybe something that's a little more abridged, not your normal, you know, hey, involuntary, everybody's got to be in here, full squad thing, but opened it up and said, we can get guys in here, try to do a mini camp on a voluntary basis. Would you be open to that? I was told straight up by someone with the union, look, Are we going to not talk about things? Yeah, I mean, look, if the league wants to talk about things, this is what we've done off season long. You know, during the off season, we've tried to set the structure. We got this current structure in place. It's absolutely not unthinkable that the union could sit there and go, hey, on a voluntary basis, maybe we can squeeze something in before the break. And again, completely respect JC. Know what he's doing. Like, he's doing what a good union president does, and making sure he forcefully says, hey, we're in control here, and he's right. He's 100% right about that. I'm just trying to point out to people that, look, it's in the story there, and people are denying things that are not really there to be denied. I know the league came out and said, we're not setting dates here. They're right. They're not setting hard dates. The story, once again, said this is contingent upon getting coaches back in and then moving forward and looking at what's the next step here, which is, I'm telling you right now, the hope of teams, multiple teams across, and I think even the league, is that if it's safe and the data suggest they can do it, they could get some players in before the break.
Charles Robinson, join us on the hotline. So if that's the case, and let's say the players union agrees to it, okay, the timetable that your sources set forth on getting back into the facilities, then how up to speed do you think they'll be, or how far behind do you think they'll be? Because that's a lot sooner than I had anticipated.
I don't think people think mini camps, they think, you know, getting guys back into the building. And I think people think in terms of the full blown, hey, we're doing it. Like, this is just going to be like normal. And it's not at all going to be like that. I mean, again, even though I don't know what else to use other than the phrase mini camp, because I think that if they agree to something, I think that's how teams would look at it. Hey, we're going to open this up. And even if it's a voluntary thing, it's something we'd like to get some guys in, get them on the field together, get the coaches out there with them together on the field instead of, hey, okay, Tom Brady's out there working out with these guys and we can't look at it. We can't structure anything. We can't be involved. Lamar Jackson's out here working with guys. Same thing. We can't be involved. No one can be involved. You know, and so again, it's not about, you know, well, how far behind are they and how much can they get done or anything. These steps, it's so abnormal what's going on this offseason. People have to stop thinking of it in terms of, well, how far behind are they or how far is that going to push? This is all literally a completely fluid situation that's being figured out as it goes. And I probably should have stated far stronger in that story. Look, getting the coaches in is the first big step here. They got to get these guys back into the facilities. And then you start to talk about, is there a way to bring in some guys before the break comes? Because look, teams, maybe J.C. Tretter doesn't want to hear this, maybe players don't want to hear this, but teams would rather not just go straight into the break and then go into the abyss of, well, when are training camps going to open in July? Is that going to happen? I think the idea of a soft opening, which is getting some players back into the facility, and how do we do that? What protocols can we start to work out? Helps them to actually formulate exactly how they would do the hard opening in training camp later.
All right, Charles Robinson with us, very detailed analysis of all of this. I'm curious, when we think about what just happened with some of the Major League Baseball responses, maybe they weren't as unified or demonstrate a unified front. Are the union getting any cues from what baseball is going through? I know different situations, different CBAs, but is there anybody saying, wait a second, why are baseball players, you know, so steadfast on getting what they want to get and we're just going to be a walkover? Do you see any of that going on?
I think the union and the, you know, the NFL's league, Park Avenue, everybody, the owners, I think people so far this offseason has functioned pretty well. You know, there hasn't been any spiteful back and forth. You know, there's no, you know, people talk about force majeure, which is, you know, a very important clause in collective bargaining. And you know, the league, essentially what the league has at its disposal in terms of whether or not NFL players get paid, it's going to come down to, you know, really the kickoff. Like, if there's a kickoff, guys are going to get paid. I mean, contractually, I think that it's a reality that, you know, owners know once we start the season, you know, we're paying the salaries of these NFL players. It's a completely different situation in baseball. You know, there is the collective bargaining standing there to try and create the sliding scale for players and hold back some of the funds. Not really the same situation with the NFL. I think it's more of sort of kind of a D-Day sort of scenario where, hey, if you start the season, you know, you're paying these guys and you're going to have, if you're not going to let fans in and there's going to be, you know, some debt issues, okay, you raise the debt ceiling, you take on some additional debt because you're not going to have the same kind of revenue coming in, whatever the case is. But I think the reason why the NFL and the union really want to work together on this is because they know the salary cap in 2021 is going to be a function. It's a function of revenue. That's how the salary cap works. You know, it's functionally, I mean, technically, if revenue drops massively, the 2021 cap should drop. But the NFL and union can work it out to smooth it out. I think there's a chance there will be a flat cap in 2021. So instead of seeing your typical jump in the cap the next year, I think the NFL and the union could negotiate a way to flatten out that cap, so that all of a sudden you don't see a situation where money's rolling backward. Everybody's in this together. I think in terms of the union the NFL, I think they know we have an opportunity to play these games, maybe without fans. We have the ability to look at the NBA and Major League Baseball and not commit some of the mistakes that they're making. And I think that's sort of the approach everybody's taking right now. And look, even when J.C. Tretter sends out that tweet yesterday about players, we haven't agreed to anything, you kind of see what some of the fan reaction is there. I think the union is cognizant of how some people are looking at baseball and the baseball union fighting each other right now. And, you know, if there's a league that can sort of get this done, I feel like people look at the NFL and say those are two sides that should be able to, considering they just signed a CBA and are trying to work together on things like this, they should be able to get this done by September.
Charles Robinson with us on the show. Follow him on Twitter, at Charles Robinson. Why isn't Jadeveon Clowney currently a Cleveland Browns football player?
I mean, why is he not a football player for anybody right now is the key question. I think he's waiting and hoping that there's going to be the big offer. You know, there's this holdout offer. Somebody's got this, I guess missile they haven't fired yet. You know, that they're just keeping their powder dry and you know, all of a sudden someone's going to come in at the last minute and go, hey, guess what? You know, we're going to get you close to that, you know, $20 million number you want. It's a long-term deal. Here's the structure you want. It's just not happening. This is not happening. You know, Seattle's up against it salary-wise. You know, the Titans, you know, I've already kind of moved away from this. You know, I spoke to the Jets. The Jets are like, look, man, we're not paying anybody. Like, figure it out. The Browns remain interested. The Browns remain, you know, the team that's got the salary cap space to maneuver. They have Olivier Vernon, and look, you can, it's a ruthless business, but you can create a $15 million hole there with Olivier Vernon if you decide to swap a guy out. I just think it's Jadeveon Clowney trying to figure out, like, look, my options that are on the table right now in terms of a long-term deal that's pretty healthy, it's probably going to be the Cleveland Browns, and he's got to come around to that and decide that, you know, okay, this is what I'm being committed to, or maybe I'm going to take a one-year deal at a cut-rate salary somewhere else and try to do the same thing I did last year, which didn't really work out for me, and roll the dice again. But I think for him, he hasn't really had a deadline, and I think what could happen is if players start to get back into facilities before the break, if that happens, I think that will be a little bit more of a natural deadline for him, you know, to potentially make a decision. I don't think this is a situation where at least his agent, I think his representation, the people around him are sitting there looking at, yeah, let's take this into training camp and hope it gets better, because it won't.
Charles Robinson with us on the show. Well, you know, my concern is, observing them as a fan, they got a ton of cap space. The Browns have been known to make some wild decisions recently. Right. Is there a possibility Jadeveon Clowney is using the Cleveland Browns as leverage for somebody else?
No. For what? Like, there's no okay, let me put it to you this way. Has he played that game? Absolutely. By now, there's no doubt. He's played that game. He's played the, hey, you know, the Browns are interested. You know, neither side's hung up the phone. Neither side set a deadline and said this is a drop-dead situation. You know, I think the Browns, Andrew Berry, the front office, you know, Paul D. Podesta, I think everybody's played this very, very patiently and said, look, you know, we're not going to panic here. Like, we know what the market is. We know what the market is for him. Go ahead. Let him do what he wants to do. He can run it around and shop a number. But the thirst and the appetite out there to pay him a long-term deal from other organizations isn't there. There's a ton of uncertainty next year from a salary cap standpoint. I mean, when you talk to the Jets and, like, the Cowboys about the whole Jamal Adams thing, you know, everybody's like, hey, everybody, you want to be doing huge deals for a safety right now, not necessarily knowing, you know, what's going to happen moving forward with the salary cap and whatnot. It's just not, again, it's not there for Clowney. You know, Yannick Ngakoue is still out there as a guy that if you want to commit huge money to an edge guy, you know, who's got a proven track record, you know, showing up, not having all the injuries, that's another opportunity that you know, depresses Jadeveon Clowney's market a little bit. So I think for the Browns, they have the upside of knowing if we were to bring him in, we can put him across from Myles Garrett. A lot of teams can't do that, you know, and that means something. You know, I live here in Houston. I can tell you right now, he was at his best as a player, even if he wasn't getting the sack numbers, he was at his best as a player when you paired him with another force multiplier like J.J. Watt. I think Myles Garrett's that kind of guy. And you're right, Browns do have money, but I'm going to tell you, I think they are headed toward smart waters, which is you see teams try to get ahead on salaries with guys instead of waiting. So think of Myles Garrett, okay?
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey's the only guy who signed a long-term deal from the 2017 class, done the long-term extension. I think the only guy actually that's worth doing that long-term extension right now and getting ahead of the market is actually Myles Garrett. And I can promise you they're going to work really hard on trying to get ahead of the market on Myles Garrett and get him extended.
Well, that'd be great for us. I'd love that. Charles, certainly. Charles, thank you very much for the time. Follow this guy on Twitter, at Charles Robinson. He's in the know on all this stuff. Charles, thank you, buddy. All the best.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online first, windownation.com. Tons to break down from there, including from what this sounds like. And he talks about some smart business there at the end, Charles does, but this starts to look like this could be the window for the Cleveland Browns, and we might not recognize that yet. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman, Live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.